Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I don't think anybody needs to be thrown to the ground and have their neck broken.
So I don't know who we wind up with, but
I just didn't know what satisfaction
if
there is.
If I come as an immigrant.
I admit it, I'm a pervert. I came here to take pictures of your daughter.
Captain Cajones.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is America's late night date with weird, man. This is America's late night date with truth, it being our bitch. We take you through the looking glass every night, and we go places where other talk shows, man, they may want to go there. They can't. They can't. They can't. 877-876-PHIL, our number, 877-876-PHIL. Tonight, our affiliate spotlight on WAXY, 790 AM in Miami and Hot Springs, Arkansas, KBHS 1420 AM. A man tracks down his molester and videotapes the confession. And coming up, we're going to have Dean Wheeler talking about this spate of YouTube confessions and YouTube exposés, of which he was a victim of one, anyway. And Katy Perry angers some critics for wearing, basically for showing her breasts on Sesame Street, although how much of them she showed, I guess, is up to debate. Well, not up to debate, but what exactly, you know, is appropriate. Jay Santos and Dean Wheeler this evening, 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, the right hand, the right arm, the right, it's the right place to be, you know, when you are listening to our program, because right now we have live streaming video and audio of our show, and you can tomorrow download the show if you'd like, and download all of our archives if you'd like, as we make them available, as well as our classic Phil podcasts and our daily mini podcasts and regular podcasts, and we've got a 5-day on-demand library of our video casts as well. So right now, you can check us out and see how we perform this thang at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. All right, now, this story, and we will go very, very slowly, and I have Jay Santos on the line. Jay, if you can hold on for just a second, because I want to give people some background.
Absolutely, Phil.
We have a story here in Orlando, Florida. An elderly man is in critical condition after being thrown to the ground by a police officer. It happened on Saturday night near North Orange Avenue after police say Daniel Daly, quote, put his hands on the cop, end quote. The World War II veteran is out of surgery. He suffered an injury. The doctors at Florida Hospital say only about 10% of people are lucky enough to survive a broken neck, if you can imagine that. Let's listen to some of this story by way of audio. An 84-year-old vet with a broken neck. Here are area residents telling Central Florida News Channel 13 that the officers definitely overreacted.
I don't think anybody needs to be thrown to the ground and have their neck broken just because they were in the wrong spot. I mean, that's absolutely terrible.
I know that when I get angry, I ball my fist. This doesn't mean I'm going to hit you, you know? I think he had absolutely no right to do so.
Daly left the Caboose Bar and headed to his car across the street on Saturday night. Witnesses say the 84-year-old man, who is a World War II veteran, was upset when he saw his car was about to be towed for parking in spaces designated for a grocery store. Now, the police were called, and they say Daly, who'd been drinking, then placed his hands on a police officer. Now, I don't know what they mean by put his hands on the cop, but this is what the story says. Witnesses say he put his hands on the officer three times. The officer warned him to stop each time. Police say Daly made a fist and said, quote, I'm not leaving until I... You got to, the guy's 84, dig that. And he says, I'm not leaving until I knock this cop out, end quote. Another witness says the officer then violently, quote, violently hip-checked this man and took him to the ground. Daly ended up in Florida Hospital with a broken neck. He's out of surgery. He's okay. That's a devastating injury most of the time. There's nothing that deals with, according to this story by Central Florida News, the Orlando Police Department doesn't have anything specific dealing with the elderly and the use of force. However, it does define imminent danger as a situation that could lead to death or great bodily harm. So Jay Santos joins us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police in the South Bay. You heard that story, Jay. What are your thoughts?
I'm glad that the elderly gentleman is all right. I certainly would not want anyone to be seriously injured in a situation like that. I also would like to add that you know, there's an awful lot of interesting conversation, I think, that we can have as, I say we, I mean, most people can have as just outsiders, but those of us in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we have spent most of our careers kind of taking a little bit of peek over the shoulder of police and seeing what they're doing, helping out where we feel it's necessary. And police officers do a very difficult job, Phil, there's no question about it. And I think some people saying that they didn't need to do this, they didn't need to do that. Well, I think what you got to do at that time is to say, you know, what I think you need to do is sort of maybe back up a step and let's let the police officers handle this.
Well, again, we weren't there, you're right. But an 84-year-old man?
Well, an 84-year-old man, I think people are saying 84-year-old man. I don't know what that means, 84-year-old man. He's 84. I'd also say he's a World War II veteran. So if he's a World War II veteran, that's supposed to mean that he has, I guess, you know, ability to be, you know, excuse me for putting it this way, being a bad, you know, badass or something like that. But by the same token, we're also told he's 84-year-old man. So the police are coming into a blind situation. We call it blind. You're coming into a situation blind, and then something happens, Phil, that no police officer is going to let happen. And that's when the man put his hands on him. And that right there is a different topic. We can talk about whether this man, you know, he's old, he's World War II, you know, whoop-de-doo. I don't mean to disrespect World War II veterans, but...
Well, I mean, that is quite a badge of honor.
Well, again, but we keep hearing about World War II, World War II. Okay, great. You know, but I would like a little more love coming away to veterans of today who are dealing with smart bombs and that kind of thing as opposed to some, you know, Japanese guy in the jungle or something. But the point that I'm making here is...
Well, I don't know what that means.
Well, the point I'm making, Phil, is this. It's one thing to say that an 84-year-old man was taken down by force, and we can question, is it right, is it wrong? But when that man put his hands, when he physically went ahead and made the step to a new, into a new area, when he went ahead and put his hand on a cop, okay? I know from personal experience, someone puts their hands on me, now we got a whole different discussion. Now we're no longer talking about, you know, yesterday. It's almost as if when you were talking to a person, that's one, I suppose you could say that's one year. When they put their hands on you, now you're almost into a whole new decade or century. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I understand what you're saying, that putting your hands on a police officer is a very, very dangerous thing.
Well, it's not so much dangerous. It's dangerous for the person putting their hands on a police officer. It's got to be dangerous for a police officer. A police officer's going to react. What that old man did is you never do. You never do. Otherwise, what's going to happen is going to happen. And that's why I'm saying I'm sorry to hear that the old man was taken down, but he's the one that put his, you know, he put his hands on the police officer. All right, now we got all bets are off. That's another level.
Jay Santos with us, 877-876-PHIL is the number as we talk about an Orlando, Florida resident who was, quote, taken down rather roughly by Orlando police. And I would say that whatever happened, it was rough because he got a broken neck. He was 84. He's okay. The broken neck was, he was in surgery, but I don't believe there has been anything serious as a result. But apparently he was argumentative with the police. He was then taken down because he put his hands on the cop or threatened to knock the cop out. I think the question, Jay, is an 84-year-old man, and we had the same discussion of a 70-something-year-old woman who got tased.
I understand.
Is it necessary for an 84-year-old man to be violently taken to the ground? Is it necessary for an elderly woman to be tased?
Again, Phil, when you mouth off, when you start basically, you know, if you want to say writing checks with your mouth that your body not going to cash, and you are 76 years old and you're a female, you are stepping into a world of the unknown. And when I say unknown, it's an unknown world for you, but for the police, they know full well what they know that world. That means here's an old lady who decided she's going to start mouthing off. Well, guess what? Here comes a taser. Now, this man who in Orlando, Florida, the weekend, had the unbelievable stupidity of placing his hands on this police officer. It's going to happen.
And so you concur with this man being taken down?
The police officer doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know what that old man's going to do.
He's 84, though. That's what I'm saying. He's an 84-year-old guy.
It doesn't make any difference if he's 84. At that point, training kicks in. He could be 84, he could be 104, he could be 24. It doesn't make any difference. Your training is going to kick in. If someone puts their hands on you, they can be 84, they can be, it could be a small child. It could be a child of 9 or 10. It could be a little girl of 11 or 12. They put their hands on you, your training kicks in, you are immediately required by statute to get as firm a grip on them, and you do want to drive the head or the upper part of the body, you want to drive that head into the cement or into anything that is...
An 11-year-old girl.
When your training kicks in, I'm not saying that every officer is going to react that way, but if they put their hands on you, you are within your rights to protect yourself, and that means getting the upper part of the body, the head, or the head and the shoulders, and driving it or ramming it into any stationary cement object, if you can. Now, this man on Sunday night or Saturday night...
But an 84-year-old guy now. I just want to be clear. 84, his neck was broken.
Yeah, you bet his neck was broken. And his neck was broken because he made the biggest mistake of his life. Put his hands on a police officer. Phil, I can tell you that when we were doing our surveyor for the 18 movie, I was telling you we were looking at people, how they're dressed, are they dressed appropriately. I had a woman who was dressed in what looked like battle fatigues. I thought it was a red flag. I said to her that we would like to speak with you if you don't mind. And I gently was going to guide her over to a table where we could talk simply by putting my hand under her elbow. She grabbed my wrist. And at that point, I had no choice. I had to reach under her arm, swing around, and basically put her on my back and pull her over top of me. So it's kind of a, you want to call it judo, it did a judo flip. I had to, because my training kicks in. I don't know.
But that's, okay, so in other words, it doesn't matter if it's a female, it doesn't matter if it's an 84-year-old man, it doesn't matter if it's an 11-year-old girl, it doesn't matter who it is, if you put your hands on a cop, but you're not a cop, Jay, forgive me for saying this, you're an auxiliary police officer.
We are, you know, when you say that, you put people's lives on the line. We are an auxiliary police department.
And but when you say somebody put their hands on you, a woman, right?
A woman in line put her hand. You don't put your hands on an auxiliary police officer. You don't do it unless you are comfortable with the idea of having your head and the upper part of your body driven into a cement object. And at that point, I had taken her, and I had done kind of, what do you want to call a judo move, and I did a judo flip on her.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. With me is Jay Sanos of the Auxiliary, of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're talking about the Orlando, Florida man, 84 years of age. We're always talking about these stories. We had that lady in Texas. We had that other, these stories where elderly people or older people are getting tased or otherwise manhandled by cops. And the question, of course, is, well, now I understand the need for a taser. I understand the need for restraint, but, you know, to deal with a violent situation. But an 84-year-old man, Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, talking with us about it, and he's pretty uncompromising. If you put your hands on a cop, no matter how old you are, you deserve the violent response. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. Watch the live streaming video of our show right now if you'd like. And with me is Jay Sanos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and he's at a substation right now there in the South Bay, and we're talking about an 84-year-old guy by the name of Daniel Daly, who was in Orlando on Saturday night and got, quote, hip-checked by a cop. Now, this guy was complaining that they were moving his car. He'd had a little bit to drink. I understand all of this, Jay, and was argumentative with the police officer, and I think he slapped the police officer's shoulder. Is that correct?
Well, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not sure. The police officer said that this man had put his hands on him, and at that time, then, of course, you have to respond. He hip-checked him, which is similar to what I did to that female at the A-team premiere there in the mall. I simply grabbed her, and I did what is a standard jiu-jitsu move, which is to hip check, and then you're bringing that person over top of you. Standard. What I think this gentleman should be very, very thankful that the officer did not drive, as I said, using a standard move where you use the head of the shoulders and drive them into any stationary cement or asphalt object, because officers are taught they have to save their own lives first. Before they save anyone else's life, their life has to be saved. And
so you feel these police officers, there's no necessary apologies, nothing?
No, I don't see it right now. The man's out of the hospital. We're training our officers in Krav Maga, which is an Israeli self-defense technique, and we're going to take it to another level. We're learning.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Take some phone calls here for you for Jay Santos and the citizens, because I don't know. I'm always a little bit ambivalent. I thought that old lady in Texas deserved it. I don't know about an old 84-year-old World War. That's the other thing, is a war veteran, too.
Well, these World War II veterans, Phil, you say they're a World War II veteran, and suddenly everybody thinks they're George Patton or they're, Eisenhower or something. Yeah.
Well, all right. Debbie, go ahead. In Tucson, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Debbie?
I can't hear everything you guys are saying, but I just want to say, along with training, there should be some common sense that goes along with it. Everybody has training on their job, but I think every job allows common sense to be used when you're dealing with difficult situations. And some of the comments that they made regarding taking down an 11-year-old girl,
Debbie, this is Phil. Debbie, this is Phil. You've got your hand over your phone, or otherwise it's not directly under your mouth because you're a little muffled. Can you move the phone closer?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
Can you hear me now?
It's a little bit better, yeah. Can you hear her, Jay?
I was having a difficult time, I think. I just would say to the young lady that when you're a police officer and you are alone, or perhaps you're in a situation where you may feel outnumbered, especially outside of a bar where you have all these people are coming pouring out of a bar at 2 a.m. and they're all, they're all looping, all greased up and ready for, you don't know what's going to go on. Someone puts their hands on me. Yeah, if it's an 8-year-old girl, I don't know. I've got to neutralize it.
Well, I've been in a situation where a police officer got violent in a nonviolent situation. Well, my nephew, he was mouthing out at the police officer. He was, being lippy. But the police officer grabbed him and body slammed him against the wall, and he wasn't even being put on arrest. He wasn't being arrested for anything. So I think, the police officers, you guys go too far sometimes just because you can. And it's not right. And you guys need to use common sense when you're dealing with some people. Some people have behavior problems. Some people are mentally ill. And sometimes need to talk them down. And
that is true, ma'am.
One thing that upsets me is because some people are mentally ill, and if you just talk them down, it won't have to be a violent situation. It won't have to go there. A lot of times, the police officer is making it a violent situation.
One of the things about being a police officer is, man, we're not trained as psychiatric assistants, but the other thing, when you're talking about someone who's got a psychological, kind of a deal that you were talking about, they have, and I'm sure you've heard, and it's true, they have almost like superhuman strength, a lot of these
very true.
Retarded people. And
what do you mean, retarded people?
Well, what I mean is, if you see a lot of these, the lady knows what I'm saying,
No, I don't know what you're saying.
It's a more politically correct word to use.
Yeah, a lot of the big ones have almost superhuman strength. It's and so at that point you've got to take out your baton and you have to, and I hate to say this, but you've got to take this big, poor, afflicted person and beat them to their knees.
Good Lord.
You shouldn't be an auxiliary police officer, a volunteer security guard. You don't need any kind of weapons with you because you don't even use common sense when you're dealing with people.
Well, man, what do you do if you've got a violent...
I would run into you. The things that you're saying, I would be scared to run into you as a civilian.
Man, all I'm saying is, what do you do if you've got one of these large, disabled people that is wild? The first thing you got to do is just beat it into a state of, complicity. And...
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. Wow.
I'm sorry.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And coming up later on, I just want to double-check our teases for... Who do we have coming up next hour? Dean Wheeler will be joining us. Dean is going to be talking to us about this phenomenon of YouTube exposing criminals. The most recent story, a guy that videotaped an interview he did with a man who molested him and put it on YouTube. And that's next hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as well as online at philhendryshow.com with live video right now. Jay, before we get to some more calls, you mentioned last half hour about it doesn't matter who, an 8-year-old girl, an 84-year-old man, if they put their hands on a police officer, I think the words you used, that's almost like taking it into another dimension?
Well, the term I use, Phil, is it takes it into another... it takes it into almost a different year. You're in a different time, spatial time zone, because what's going on now is I may like you, but if you put your hands on me, it doesn't matter if I like you. I may break your neck. I may do what I need to do to ensure the safety of myself and my fellow police officers. When I said an 8-year-old girl, at night when it's dark, and perhaps you're the only police officer on the scene, perhaps it's just yourself and your partner, but there's a crowd of people, and you may have to do some crowd control. And by crowd control, it could mean something as simple as just pulling your weapon and firing two or three warning shots in the air.
And I didn't know the police officers did that.
What is that?
Firing warning shots?
It is pretty standard. If you've seen a lot of motion pictures, will show you that police officers do that. But the point that I'm making here, Phil, is that if it's an 8-year-old girl, I don't know what that means. It's 11 o'clock at night. It's dark. She's an 8-year-old girl. Well, I'd like to remind you of a movie, and I don't mean to be silly, but there was a movie called Night of the Living Dead, and there was a little 8-year-old girl in that movie, too. And she wound up being, one of those ghouls. And I know that's a made-up story, but that's an 8-year-old girl, and she wound up taking a... one of those cement trowels. 8-year-old girl took a cement trowel and carved up her, basically just sort of, pinned her bond to a wall.
Oh, I understand. I've seen the movie, but that is just a movie.
Absolutely. But I'm just using it as a metaphor.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's take some phone calls. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, sir.
I think this guy pretty much has answered all of us's questions about the standard procedure for police officers. I'd like to know where he's getting his training. I mean, if he's watching TV to get his training, and where do these bullets go when they fire warning shots up in the air? I mean, just because you see that stuff on a movie, is that legit?
Mr. Henry asked me about crowd control. All right. I mean, what do you know about it? I'm talking about trying to control a crowd, and that means that you have to use, pepper spray. You can use your baton. What are you doing? Are you making a snowman or something? Sounds like you're chipping ice.
No, I'm standing here. I'm listening to you.
That sounded like you're chipping something.
Well, I'm sorry, I was chipping something. But I'm just trying to figure out.
Sounds like you're carving a piccolo or something.
If you're doing crowd control, I mean, what's the crowd control of an 84-year-old man slamming his head into a concrete object?
Well,
I mean,
the news story, sir. The news, sir. The the news story says that the gentleman came out of a bar, the Caboose Bar in Orlando, Florida. I don't know. It sounds to me it was around 2 a.m. The man came out, followed by other patrons. Now, you don't have to be a police officer to understand that at 2 o'clock in the morning with other patrons pouring out of a bar, you could have a situation. That's what I was talking about.
I'm not worried about the story. I'm trying to figure out how you think it's right to take a 74-year-old woman and tase her, or to body slam an 84-year-old man.
Right. You know, real simple thing.
What kind of training do you have?
Real simple thing. Don't put your hands on a cop.
Okay.
That's real simple. Is that hard to understand? That's not hard to understand.
No, I mean, you put your hands on the lady first, right, before you judo flipped her in the air. So what
did you not?
What gives you the right to put your hands on her?
Did you put your hands on that woman, Jay?
I did not put my hands on her. I took her under the elbow, as men will, to lead her over to a table. I was not exactly grabbing a hold of her.
You say that's not touching her. You touched her first. She put her hand right back on you. So then you decided to take it into your power to body slam her.
I did not touch her so much as I was guiding her. She grabbed me. She touched me.
Okay, well, she might have wanted to guide you around a little bit.
That's when the escalation started, and that's when I had to.
This is why the alternative, the police department or rent-a-cops, whatever, just won't have people like this in their real force. It just doesn't make sense why somebody would want to body slam an 84-year-old man. I mean, there's other ways to handle that.
All you got to do. Is that right? Well, when you become a police officer and you are in the line of duty, and even an 8-year-old girl tries to put her hands on you. You tell me. Listen to him. If you want to laugh about it, if you think it's funny what happens to police officers every day.
But an 8-year-old girl, okay, is what we're talking about here. Anyway, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Alan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Alan, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I'm a police officer for the United States Marine Corps for 9 years.
Oh,
and this
thank
guy
God we got a cop here.
That's right. You got one.
I'm glad you called because that last idiot, I talked to, you talk about an idiot.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you can't put your hands on somebody, even when you come up to them in a mall, no matter if you're a police officer or not. And you're talking about taking a nightstick and beating somebody down. You're not allowed to pull that nightstick out unless they pull out an equal weapon.
No, I was talking about one of these mentally, we're not allowed to say retard anymore, but you know what I mean. People are mentally deficient.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I'm saying that a lot of them have unusually superhuman strength.
Well, I'll tell you this. We had the same problem here in the state of Tennessee where 5 police officers tasered one person and the guy almost died. Now they took away their taser guns, and the only ones that is allowed to carry tasers in the state of Tennessee is the supervisor on account of that reason. Okay? You got to use equal force as a police officer. You're talking about somebody that's 85, 87 years old. He did not deserve a broken neck, okay?
Well, he shouldn't have put his hands on it. Look, you're a military police officer.
You're not a cop. You're not a cop. You don't know what you're talking about.
Sir,
you're not a police officer.
I'm an auxiliary police officer in the South Bay.
You're a t-shirt at best. You're not even a cop. You're a t-shirt at best, correct?
Sir, I have constitutional right to citizen's arrest. And
you got a constitutional right of getting sued is what you got a constitutional right. You said when you was in the mall, you put your arm on the you put your hand up under this lady's arm, correct?
That's correct, sir.
You're not allowed to touch nobody. You're a T-shirt at best.
I don't know what you mean by T-shirt. I don't know what that means, T-shirt. What I do, this guy, you're trying to tell me how to live, and you can't even pick out the right kind of cell phone.
Hold on for a minute. Alan, we're having a little hard time listening or hearing you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, that's much better, much better.
Sir, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, yeah.
Can I go, Phil?
Go ahead.
I just want to say to this gentleman that he's telling me I'm not a police officer. I'm a police officer.
You want to be a police officer. That's your problem. You need to quit watching Barney Fife on TV and go get you a real job. Because you're going to put your hands on somebody one day, and it's either going to be one or two things. You're going to get a woman, or somebody's going to sue you.
That woman was in line to see the A-team dressed in fatigues. I wanted to talk to her about that.
It don't mean what she's wearing. I wear fatigues every day. I was 9 years in the Marine Corps. You would have come up to me like that and put your hands on me, you would have been eating the paper. I'm telling you,
I would like to... Do you dress like that on your way in to see a movie like A-team?
You're picking your teeth up off the ground if you'd come put your hands on me. This is United States. Anybody's allowed to wear anything they want to. That does not give you the right to stop anybody.
Absolutely. However, if you wear that going in to see A-team, I got a few questions
about that. You're talking about you did a judo move. I bet you don't even know nothing.
Yeah, what was that?
I took the lady when she put her hands on me, Phil. I picked her up and basically just flipped her over top.
You didn't flip
that's
nobody.
You're
blowing smoke. You did not. You're a T-shirt at best.
What are you talking about? You know, you keep saying, how do you know I didn't do that? I just said I did it. Why would I lie?
You're talking about it all. It's a wonder somebody ain't done put you in the hospital or somebody ain't done sued you by now.
It is something. You're talking a lot of stuff, too. I don't know if you're telling the truth.
I was a police officer for 9 years. I'm telling you what I'm talking about.
How do I know you're telling the truth?
Hold on. Go ahead, Alan.
How do I know you're telling the truth?
I'll tell you this much.
If I would have came to the store and you told me to shut up and turn around and put my hands on my head like you did the last time you was on this show, that you would have been picking your teeth up off the ground. Because I'd have put you on the
seat. You know, dreams are a wonderful thing. It's great to have dreams. My feeling is that as long as someone keeps their hands to themselves, we're going to have a nice, friendly conversation.
I understand that. He did not deserve a broken neck. I pulled up on police scenes before with a police officer. Have you ever seen what a bodybuilder looks like?
What are you talking about?
Have you ever seen what a bodybuilder looks like? Do you know what I'm talking about?
What do you mean a bodybuilder?
I'm saying, have you ever seen what a bodybuilder looks like? I'm getting to the point.
A muscle-bound person.
You know what I'm talking about? Somebody that can lift 400 pounds, no problem. You know what I'm talking about?
You're talking about one of these retards.
No, he's talking about guys that lift weights in competition.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's correct. We got police officers that are like that, and I have pulled up on scenes before with a person that they have arrested ain't no bigger than Barney Fife, and they've done maced his face with Freeze Plus 12. You know what that is? I bet you don't even know what Freeze Plus 12 is, do you?
Yes, I do. I do. It is a kind of...
Do you know what that stuff does to you when you spray it in somebody's face?
You say spray... I've used it in a roll-up. There's two of them that is bigger than him.
That he didn't even deserve that. All they had to do was handcuff him and put him in the back of the car.
I have to ask you a question. So you interfered with two police officers. Is that what you're trying to say?
You did, didn't you? You don't know the first thing about being a police officer. That's why you wore your...
You did, didn't you? You interfered with two police officers because you had your fatigues on. See, that's what I'm talking about, Bill.
Bottom line is you're a T-shirt at best. You want to be something that you cannot be, correct?
Well, sir, you sound like a vigilante.
That's probably why you're not a police officer. You're a T-shirt at best. That's what you are. You're a T-shirt at best. And I pray to God somebody don't pick your teeth up off the ground. Because you're going to put your hands on somebody one day, and they're going to hurt you bad. Or they're going to sue your ass off.
I don't think so. I'm very confident in my ability.
Well, I'll tell you what, you come on down here to the state where I'm at and talk that crap, okay? You come down here and put your hands on these people down here and watch what happens. I'm telling you, if you don't change your ways, you're not something that you're not.
You got no idea what you're doing.
What did you do in Tennessee?
I was in Tennessee. I was on my way into the state of Georgia, and I was at one of these road stops. I don't know what you call it. It's one of these rest areas.
Okay.
And they had one of these shops, and they had a cookie jar that I liked. They were selling these different cookie jars. And I said to the guy, hey, you, get over here. And he was taking his time because he knew I had a northern accent. So I went over there, and I had to do what I had to do.
And what are you talking about?
I had to drag this guy over to where the cookie jars were.
See, See, you keep saying this you had to do what you had to do.
You had to drag a guy over to the cookie jars.
He was in Tennessee. This guy was asking me.
That's got nothing to do. You were a thug. You were pushing people around is what you were doing. We're talking about police work here, Dean. What this man is saying is, if you've got an 84-year-old man or an infirmed person or a small person or an underage person, do you need to hip-check them or to use a stick on them or to use mace or anything else?
I don't think you do unless they put their hands on you. And if they put their hands on you, then death comes before the fall.
Where do you get your training at, Jay?
What's that? What
is your training?
Where
do you get your training from?
Major Elvis Newton. Major Elvis Newton. Is where we get it. Major Elvis
Newton. That's all I got to say. You got a lot to learn. You're going to put your hands on somebody one day, and you're going to be picking your teeth up. Buddy, I wish I'd run into you. I'll tell you
I've already picked my teeth up. I pick my teeth up every morning, sir, on the nightstand. So, And by the way, Google Major Elvis Newton and you'll find out.
All right, listen, I thank you very much, Alan, for your call and giving us some of the background there on being a military police officer. 877-876-PHIL.
You know more of a military police officer than I'm, Aunt Jemima.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL as we talk with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on what is necessary in arresting an 84-year-old World War II veteran who happens to have had too much to drink. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, crap.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com. You can watch a live streaming video of our show right now. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us. Now, Jay, here's a quote from Gabby Aparicio. She's a store owner who was in the area there. And this is Orange Avenue in Orlando. And I know this area. I don't know what it's like now. I haven't been in Orlando in many years, but she said, I don't think anyone needs to be thrown to the ground and have their neck broken because they were parked in the wrong spot. It doesn't matter if you've been drinking or not. He's an old man. How belligerent can you be? And it's a pretty good statement, don't you think?
It's a good statement, Phil, unless we take into consideration one other factor. And that factor is the life of a young police officer. Now, I know that this is an old man, but we're going to have to sort of maybe get our story straight. World War II veteran, everybody likes to talk about World War II veterans, how badass. But then by the same token, these World War II veterans are suddenly elderly old men and they're very weak. And
well, I think you're missing the point on that. We give them credit for being veterans. We're not saying that they're badass now at the age of 84.
Well, let me tell you this. I heard you the other night on your program. I heard you say this. You said that old people should have guns.
If they're living in their houses alone, yeah.
All right, thank you very much for that, because if I go out on a call and there's an old man there and he's all liquored up, now I got me an 84-year-old liquored up old man, and I go up to him and I try to be nice and maybe, put him in a blanket and carry him to his baby bed, and guess what? I get my head blowed off. That's not worth it.
I think that's super paranoia there, man. 877-876-PHIL. Here we go to Al on the Phil Hendry Show. Al, you're on with Jay Santos. Go ahead.
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct.
Go ahead, sir.
I've been in law enforcement for 13 years. I worked with several different agencies from the state of Maine to Florida. There are several levels of force. If we feel our life is in danger, immediately we're supposed to call, get on that radio, call for backup. It's up to the officer, but as soon as you do make physical contact, if it's not a handshake and it's a ball fist and you tap the officer, as soon as you make contact with an officer, it's automatically considered assault. Okay?
Exactly. That's my point.
So as soon as you call, but there's several levels of force, from tasing a young lady Immediately, if we get involved with the young lady, we're supposed to call and have a female officer show up. You know, they're the only ones allowed to really frisk unless we call and we have another backup with us.
You got an 8-year-old girl. You got an 8-year-old girl that's violent.
I don't know what academy you went through, but apparently they're training their auxiliary department the wrong way.
Sir, I'm simply saying, if you get one of these very tall, mentally impaired people, you have to beat him until he drops to his knees. That's the only way you can deal with it. I don't know where you went to school or how you learned how to do it, but that's my experience.
We're always told, and even if we pull over vehicle, if there's more than one person in the vehicle, we feel like our life may be in danger when we run the tag. Where immediately, before we get out of our vehicle, we immediately call for backup. No matter what situation we get into, there's several levels of force that we're only allowed to use.
Well, I can't call for backup. If I've got some 8-year-old kid that's all over me, like white on right, I'm going to call backup?
And if I go into a meeting, the kid's all over me.
We understand that.
I'm 165 pounds, and I've been up against big boys. So I tell when you park into a situation and you feel that you're going to be apprehended, or you're going to have to really use some physical force, you're automatically supposed to call for backup, and that's why
no,
you
that's
do
no. That's no, calling for backup is that's sissy. That's total. If you're calling for backup every time, then
all right, we got to go. 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very much, Jay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
I've got the big point I want to make here about how backup is sissy.
Phil Hendry.
Read my book.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
If I harmed you in any way, I couldn't
have done it. I handled it the wrong way when I went on the bus.
I don't think anybody needs to be thrown to the ground and have their neck broken.
If I come as an immigrant.
Stop crying, you sniveling ass. Stop your nonsense.
And I'm like, oh, snap.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Coming up, we got Dean Wheeler joining us this hour to talk about YouTube and the videotaping of fairly personal acts and the placing of it on YouTube. And what does that mean in terms of the law? And what does it mean in terms of his own personal experience and the experience of others when it comes to that kind of populist journalism / documentary? 877-876-PHIL is our number. Also, lawmakers in Bell, California get dragged out of their homes in handcuffs. And we'll tell you, this is a suburban city here near Los Angeles. We'll tell you what they did coming up in our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Plus, did Katy Perry show too much? I said too many because that's the way it sounded in the news. Did she show too many of her breasts on Sesame Street? Our website, philhendryshow.com. Right now with live streaming video and audio of the show, and you can download the show tomorrow. You can download it directly off our website or at iTunes. You can get our classic Phil podcast. You can get the mini podcast. You can download more and more and more new downloads available in our archives. We have our 5-day archive for our video cast. We have our news feed. We have our guaranteed email response from Phil Hendry. It's all there at philhendryshow.com, so get a backstage pass. Dean Wheeler going to join us right now from Northern California in Novato, California. And Dean and his wife, Belinda, operate the Northern California Holistic Center. And Dean, this is a story that I saw, and I wanted to talk with you about this because there was a legal snafu of some kind, I think, that you were involved in regarding videotaping.
Well, yeah, this was an incident between my wife and myself, yes.
All right, and I want to get into that because I saw the story about a man who was videotaping his accused molester. He got his accused molester to confess, and then he uploaded the tape to YouTube.
This is the threat, and I am the first person to tell you that the molestation of children is an evil that has no parallel. By the same rule, when your own spouse is videotaping you because she may have an interest in the financial part of your life together, and she wants to get more leverage there, or she is interested in taking over a little bit more of your business. This was something that I had to deal with, Phil. Now, my wife and I are still together because we survived this. And so those are two very different things.
All right, and I want to talk about those. This is, as I said, this is a man, and his name is Ron Tebow. He's the guy that did the videotaping. He's the man who says that he was molested as a child or as a teenager. He says his sister as well was put through this by this neighbor, and he got this man to fess up, to confess on tape. Here is Ron Tebow confronting Butch. Well, let's play a little bit of this. The man, he says, molested him and his 5-year-old sister.
You molested my sister.
I could have. I mean, I don't recall. I don't recall, really.
You did. I remember. I appreciate you telling me that. But you did. And my sister, you know, she would have to rock herself to sleep at night because of that.
Well, I'm truly sorry. That's all I can say. You know, there's nothing more I can do.
I'm not here to pick a fight with you, man.
I know.
I'm just here to get some closure on this, man.
Well, I hope you find it.
Now, here Tebow tries to figure out why Butch molested his sister.
I just didn't know what satisfaction there is when, you know, a man at 15 sees in a 5-year-old.
I couldn't tell you.
I know.
You know, I was a juvenile myself.
No, you were. You were very young. And I just don't know why it happened, and if you could help me understand, and then I can move on, and we can shake hands, and I could be on my way.
Well, I can't help you. I don't know.
All right, and in this particular clip here...
Can I interrupt you for a moment? I don't know what the purpose of this is. I'm here to talk about... I'm here to defend myself, and to be put in the same category as a child molester.
No. No, Dean, I don't want my audience to think that's the case at all. I don't want my, and I apologize for that. It was a story that is related to your experience.
Well, this is terribly troubling to be put into the same category as this man.
All right, and let me hold off. I've got more audio, and I'll play it for the audience. But let's talk about what happened. Your wife videotaped you in the act of, I believe, slapping her. Is that correct?
My wife videotaped me. I slapped my wife across the face twice. The second time that I slapped her across the face with an open hand, not a closed fist, but with an open hand, was when she had failed to take down the email addresses of individuals who had purchased a group coupon for some of the classes at our holistic center. She lost the check. She lost the sign-in sheet with everyone's email addresses. And now we cannot send future promotions to their homes for our lectures and for our classes. It was a response.
When your wife said to you that she had lost a check, right?
She had lost, no. She didn't just say she lost a check. She had lost the sign-in sheet for our group lectures. We have a holistic center here, Phil, that deals in a variety of holistic and homeopathic remedies, chiropractic as well, that help hundreds and hundreds of people. We have yoga classes as well and meditation classes. And what we're doing, and hopefully there are others who join with us, in evolving our treatment of man's ailments and using this new era of the combining of homeopathic with medical treatment. So these were our lectures, and she lost the sign-in sheet, and she lost a check for $6,000. And my immediate response was to slap her across the face with an open hand, not a closed fist.
But she videotaped this.
She videotaped this, yes.
And why?
Because this is Belinda's, this is the problem with Boo, and we call her Boo because her middle name is Esmeralda, B-E-W, and we call her that with endearment. But she wants I think she's looking to take a piece of this business away from me, or is looking to compromise me in front of our attorneys so that she can get a hold of some of the financial. It's sad, and it's so involved. And I think if I was able to sit down and talk to you for a few hours and really lay this out, you would be stunned at some of the machinations that she's trying to pull. And so all of that combined, putting me under enormous amounts of pressure, caused me, when she said, I've lost the check, that's when my hand came up. I slapped her completely across the face. And then she said to me, I have videotaped that. And I said to her that you're doing what these people do. They put it on YouTube. Is that what you're going to do? And she said, if I have to.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the one hand, Dean, we have a man who has gotten an admission from a molester, an accused child molester, that has gotten some kind of a cathartic release for this man. He recognizes that he can't have him arrested. He is trying to, you know, work this out. And the other...
Yes, and I thought it was very unfortunate for you to play that. And combine that with me slapping my wife across the face, I don't think. And you did not put it into the context. She had lost that check and the sign-in sheet. And I know that that doesn't sound to a lot of people like a large issue, but to a holistic center where we are doing lectures three times a week, to lose people's email addresses and sign-in sheets, and then to lose the check for some $6,000 to $7,000, it was my thought at that moment, the only thing I can do is slap her face. Now, she videotaped that.
All right, she videotaped that, and what is she going to do with this? Is she going to give it to the police?
I don't know. I think what she's going to do is use it to extract some promise from me that she's going to be more involved in the financial control of the company. I am the president of the company. I have the comptroller title as well. I control the money, and I always have. And for her to insist on some part of that...
Let me ask you this. Do you anticipate that now that she has a videotape of you slapping her across... Let me ask you something. Do you find that an inappropriate response?
I find it to be a part of a process that I'm going through. I come from a home, my father beat my mother regularly. And so when I met Esmeralda, I beat her. When I had a few years of education and personal experiences that changed my thinking, and I remember once I had slapped her across the face because she burned a walnut vegetarian dish. We had she put gluten in it, which I am allergic to. And it can cause my throat to close up. So her putting something into this vegetarian loaf that would cause my throat to close, I took as a hostile act toward me, an aggressive act toward me, and I slapped her across the face. And I found that to be an evolution.
An evolution from what?
From using a closed fist. And I said to her, do you not recognize the evolution? Do you not recognize the evolution of what I've just done? You can watch the tape. I slap her, and then I say, do you see the evolution?
All right, well, this man is going to put this on YouTube. You slapping your wife across the face, she's going to put that on YouTube, too.
No, she's not going to put it on YouTube, because I told her, no, you don't put it on YouTube. And
well, how are you going to stop her?
I told her, no, you don't put it on YouTube.
How are you going to stop her?
I'm going to stop.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Dean Wheeler, whose wife videotaped him secretly, slapping her a couple of times. She's threatened to put it on YouTube. Dean thinks she wants some kind of financial control over their business. There was a man who confronted his accused molester and put the tape up on YouTube. This is a response, or this seems to be a reaction a lot of people have these days. It's a fight, put it on YouTube. It's a puppy getting thrown into a ditch, put it on YouTube. It's a this, it's a that. And now, here's a man slapping his wife across the face, domestic violence, going up on YouTube. 877-876-PHIL. And what is that? Yeah, Dean?
I wanted to say one more thing, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
It is an outrage that my wife secretly videotaped this. And that's what I'm wondering, why you didn't come out against the fact that the crime that was committed was her secretly videotaping me. Not me slapping her, because I did it with an open hand and not with a closed fist, but the crime of her videotaping.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, a world-famous Phil Hendry show.
Phil Hendry. Show.
877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com with live streaming video of the show. Right now we have Dean Wheeler with us. A man gets his accused molester to confess on videotape, and we're talking with Dean, and I do appreciate you talking to me about this, Dean. No, you're right. You are not. I don't even want to go next to that. You didn't molest anyone, but you slapped your wife across the face. She got it on videotape. You're saying the only crime that was committed was her videotaping you without your permission.
Well, let me tell you another crime that was committed, Phil. When she put the particular ingredient that I'm talking about is gluten, and when you put that into a walnut loaf or you put it into any vegetarian dish, I am allergic to gluten. I can, and because I have an autoimmune disease called celiac disease, and I don't know if your audience knows what that is.
No.
Well, it is a disease in which there is the lining of the small intestine is damaged from eating gluten and other proteins found in wheat and barley and rye and oats. And the way I process proteins is different. It can literally change the cellular structure. And when she put gluten into that vegetarian loaf, I remember looking at her and saying, "You are trying to cripple me and eventually see me reformed as some mutant." And my hand swung, and I slapped her with an open hand across the face.
And that was the first time, and the second time she videoed you.
She videoed me, and that was the crime. And that's what I'm trying to tell everyone, and I thank you for letting me come on your program. I did this morning the Ron Owen show on KOG.
KGO?
I don't know, but I know I did a man named Owen, and I did another man named, in Los Angeles, another man named Jackson.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Stephanie in Phoenix. Hi, Stephanie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I just got to say that this guy right here has overstepped his bull crap. He is.
Can I ask you, because you do sound as if you've been drinking? Have you been?
You know what? I hope she does put it on YouTube, because you deserve it. You should not abuse a woman no matter what.
She's drunk. Yeah.
Well, let's just say she's not drunk.
All right, Stephanie.
I'm not drunk. I'm driving right now. I'm at work.
Stephanie, I did not abuse anyone. I did, okay.
I'm not going to sit in here and let some man say that because his wife videotaped him slapping her for a stupid reason and say that it's right and the only thing that was wrong was she videotaped it secretly. So what? I would have put your butt in jail.
She tried to kill me with gluten, which is something
I told you. Did she fail? You know what? I wouldn't have failed.
Wait a minute. Was she trying to kill you, or did she make a mistake?
I told her not to use gluten. I told her that gluten interacts with the cellularly wrong with oats and barley. and we eat an awful lot of that because we're vegetarians. And
all right, but she made a mistake.
Well, what is the difference? I'd like to ask you and the caller, what's the difference? What's the difference?
Why didn't you turn her in?
What is the difference between making a mistake and just go ahead and do it on purpose? Either way, she got it.
Okay, you know what? If she
oh, my God, man.
Instead of beating her, why didn't you turn her into the police?
Because I think, and I don't mean to answer for Dean, Stephanie, you can't, Dean, you don't think she did it on purpose. She made a mistake.
No, I don't.
It's a stupid mistake. She made an ignorant, I told her, if there's one thing that I hate in women, it's being ignorant when you don't have to be an ignorant person. And when she, I told her, gluten, no gluten.
So because she makes a mistake, you're gonna beat her. You're gonna beat her.
That's the problem here, Dean. You're gonna beat a woman.
I did not beat her, and I would like to make that very clear. I slapped
her
with my open hand.
You know what? Anytime you lay a hand on a woman, that is beating her. Whenever she does not
deserve
it for an honest mistake. Don't say oh my God to me.
You cannot
be
serious. When you.
You're the one that needs to seek help. So what? She videotaped you secretly. You shouldn't have even touched her. Then you wouldn't have anything to worry about.
Ma'am, I did the only thing that I knew how to do, and that to protect myself.
Oh, that's the only thing you know how to do is to hit a woman? What, does it make you feel superior?
Right. Why didn't you say to her, you know what, Dean, if you'd gotten something that was going to close up your throat, you should have taken care of yourself medically.
And I did, but I needed to, if you read any of the counseling books on modern marriage, make the statement, then go get medical help. What she did, yes, it was a mistake, but mistake or otherwise, I needed,
instead of getting
I
medical
had
help
to slap
right
her.
Away, you go and beat her.
Right, you go and slap her.
I did not beat her. I slapped her with my open hand,
it's
then I went and took my
her.
Shot.
No woman is beating her, whether you slap her or anything else. It is beating a woman.
Do you know what this disease, do you know what celiac disease does? It bloats, there's diarrhea, there's fatigue, cellular structure change. I'm supposed to go through that. And all I did was slap her with my open hand. I didn't want to do it. In fact, it was done
before I
exactly, yeah. Stephanie, thank you very much for your call. Drive carefully now. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Back with Dean Wheeler in a moment.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, my God. I didn't beat anybody.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we invite you to join us online as well at philhendryshow.com with our video cast. Dean Wheeler has joined us, and in this day and age of YouTube being the... Well, YouTube has become the court of last resort for a lot of people. If there is an injustice happening in this world, let's YouTube it. If there's something that people think is wrong, let's YouTube it. It's a place where not only do we see great things, we see some criminal acts. Dean, this molester that was interviewed, I understand that that's not you, but this is a man that found the person that molested him, interviewed him, put it up on YouTube, so at least that part of the story can be told. Your wife, it would seem...
Hold on.
Your wife, it would seem, videotaped you secretly, slapping her, because somehow she wanted to get that message out.
The only reason why, Phil, you know that my wife slapped, that I slapped my wife, and in many ways she slapped me in a figurative sense. It's abuse of a kind of a reverse order, because I had asked her, would you please get the email addresses? And
no, you've told me why you got angry, but not getting email addresses doesn't mean you slap people.
No, I'm not justifying, but I am saying that the evolution of Dean Wheeler from the days of being an abusive alcoholic working the piers of San Francisco and today running a holistic healing center, I think is a great evolution, Phil, and to put me on YouTube as if I am a
pervert, I think is very unfair.
And no, not a pervert, but you're slapping your wife.
And the only reason why you know that I slapped her is because not only did she put it on YouTube, she made audio recordings of it, because obviously when a hand hits bare skin, it's like the crack of a baseball bat, and she has this all over these other sites like Flitter and Blinker and some of these others where you can hear this slapping sound.
877-876-PHIL. Let's get over to a caller here, Eric in Bloomington, Illinois. Eric, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right. Hey, he deserves to go to jail, and honestly, he deserves his ass. You don't ever hit a woman. I don't care what she did or anything, okay? You don't ever lay your hands on a woman. You deserve your ass kicked.
I would agree with you.
You deserve to go to jail. You deserve to be
beaten
by every inmate inside of that jail at the same time. You don't ever lay your hands on a woman, bud, because
that is criminal.
And a man is 5 to 10 times stronger than any woman. Okay, you could hurt her severely.
She has a disease, right? She's
and
you no,
slap
I have
her
the
because
di-
of
I have
that. Give me a break, dude. You're a sick.
You don't listen too good, do you?
Ever.
I'm the
you
one who has the
jail,
disease.
Bro.
I have
your
the
head
disease.
Out of your butt, because that's where
and
it's at.
I don't
ever hit a
I
woman.
Have celiac.
Ever. You deserve
my
your butt kicked.
My stool was oily. Most my stool definitely. Was oily.
So, pull
well,
your head
you
out of your
you
butt.
You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. If you have celiac disease, which is what I've got.
Because you're a big sissy. And it shows right there. You're a big sissy. You deserve to be in jail. So who cares, man? You hit a woman. What are you, a big guy now, huh?
Well,
why don't you pick on a guy? Why don't you slap a guy for it?
Oh, listen to you. What a Neanderthal.
You're just a big sissy.
You're
that's
so
right.
stupid. You're so stupid.
Oh, I'm so stupid.
I have seen
someone that was
you
caught
are,
on YouTube
you talk,
or on
talk
camera
stupidly.
With the, all that other stuff, and you got caught slapping your wife. You're an idiot. You don't ever hit a woman.
I slapped her twice.
You slapped her twice.
She had her.
You need to be beaten by everybody twice in that jail.
Well, that's criminal.
Don't ever hit a woman.
You are. I had to. And I can tell you that it was much better than it was 10 years ago when I used to with a balled up fist. Yeah, I used to hit women with a balled up fist.
Oh, yeah. You're a big guy then, huh? You big, real big
well,
guy. You
let's talk. Let's talk honestly. Let's talk honestly. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Eric?
No, I don't.
You do.
Because I've never hit a woman
yeah,
in my entire
sure,
life.
Sure, you don't.
You think you're a big guy.
You don't.
Never
yeah.
touch a woman.
The way you're reacting to me makes me think that you.
No, look at Dean. Really you can't turn the tables off. Here and say that there's another guy. You have to own up to your own mistakes.
This man is acting.
It's a mistake. It's a mistake. But you're sitting here bragging on radio, national radio, about hitting your wife. Oh, it wasn't once. It was
no, I'm not
twice.
Bragging. I'm not proud of it.
Oh, yes, you are.
I'm not proud
yes,
of it.
Yes, you are. Yes,
no,
you are.
I'm not.
Because
I'm
you
saying...
You said, 10 years ago, I was a woman with a balled-up fist. You're an idiot.
I have evolved.
You
I have evolved,
jail.
Yes. I've evolved.
Thank
and
you.
That's
for,
what I'm trying to
thank
say.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Do you know what the word evolved means? Probably.
Oh, I thank you very much, Eric, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Why do you... There's nothing the man's saying there that is necessarily wrong, Dean. You know, I mean, why do you insult him?
He's saying that I need to be jail raped. Oh boy. Oh.
He didn't say that. He said beaten.
He is talking about inmate. He wants me in a holding cell. He wants me in a drunk tank at about 2 o'clock on a Saturday morning when the scum of God's earth is crawling the walls in there. Is that when he wanted me to be arrested? Does he want me arrested on a Saturday morning when the scum of God's earth is crawling through the drunk tanks of America and they throw me in there like I'm an anchovy in a bait tank? And so my answer to that is the following thing. I love my wife very much. I slapped her across the face. Two things happened. Gluten.
All right, we heard about the gluten, and I know all about the email list. And
why do you cut me off when I admit to you that I slapped? I did slap Belinda.
but there was the gluten and there were the list of emails. And
all right, so she screwed up. And you slap her across the face both times. She videotaped you once. It's going up on YouTube.
What a criminal act. What?
Yeah, you slapping her.
No, me slapping her, I told you it was with my open hand.
Dude, nobody's going to give you credit because 10 years ago you used to ball your fist up. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Dustin in San Francisco listening on KNEW. Go ahead, Dustin.
I'm just wondering, how deeply do you love your wife? I understand you really love her, and if she loves you, I suggest you do counseling or something together. You know, if you guys want to have a wife, it's a good thing that you come out and admit it. You know, it's a great thing because then you learn.
I think counseling is important. I think counseling is important, but we've always kept our own counsel, Dustin. What I mean by that is we use as our guide the texts, religious and spiritual texts, that have served man in good stead, and that is the Bible. It can be the Eightfold Path of Buddha, Bhagavad Gita.
That's a lot of hooey, man. This gentleman is saying that...
A lot of hooey.
The gentleman's saying a professional counselor.
I don't think that the Bible is hooey. And
when you open up your hand and slap your wife across the face, it's going to take more than the Bible to get you to stop doing that.
Well, through the Bible, you learn about love. Through the Bible, you can learn a lot.
I agree. I agree with the gentleman.
Well, don't you think, Dustin, that he needs to go to a counselor, though? Like a professional?
That's what I meant to say in the beginning. That's what,
the Bible's...
Now, wait a minute. You're changing your opinion. You're changing your opinion because Mr. Henry forced you to. You said originally that I needed a... What?
But Dustin and I are on... No, you were on the same page, man. You're saying that this guy, this gentleman, Mr. Wheeler, needs to go to a counselor, and that the Bible's fine.
Oh, is that right? You and Dustin are on the same page, and I'm standing here, right? I'm standing here, and someone took my pants. I'm standing here, and I'm about to be led into a drunk tank at 2 o'clock in the morning with the scum of God's earth crawling the walls.
What? I said that guy...
That gentleman said that I needed a counselor, and I said the Bible. And he said, you know what, you're right, and then you talked him out of it. So it's the same kind of unfair hypocrisy that Belinda practices when she tells me, yes, I'll do this with the bunny, yes, I'll do this with the walnut loaf. She doesn't do either thing. She lied. I slap her across the face because I got angry. 10 years ago, it would have been my closed fist. And I'm on YouTube.
Well, you know, the way you tell it, man, you swear to God that you're the most put-upon guy in the world, but nothing you said there necessarily blows my mind or that I disagree with. Here is Susie in Chico, California, listening on KZAP. Go ahead, Susie.
Hi. I think that you have some mental health issues. Basically, you're making an excuse. You're saying that you can hit her. You didn't hit her with the open fist, but it was okay to do that 10 years ago, and now it's okay to hit a woman
with your hand. Okay. It wasn't okay 10 years ago to hit her with the balled-up fist. That's why I have evolved.
So what I'm saying is there's no evolve here, honey. You have some mental health issues because it is against the law. It is called spousal abuse.
Right.
And
exactly.
Mental health issue. You're making excuses. You need to get some help because you're making excuses. It's not all right either way that you do it.
The karmic wheel is
turning. And you're trying. You can't make people feel sorry for you. You need to help yourself.
Well, what am I going to... What are they going to tell me? The next time you slap her, Dean, make sure you take your rings off?
No.
I'm trying to evolve through it.
Well, wait a minute. What do you mean evolve through it? Yeah, Susie, I just want to add, what do you mean evolve through it?
I mean, I used a balled-up fist. Now I use my open hand. I want to someday take my rings off. I know it sounds sick, and maybe the lady's right. And
someday you want to take your rings off?
Yes, sir.
So now you slap the woman with an open hand wearing your ring.
And I turn it around, and I do, and I admit to all of that. But
well,
do
you need
know
to
how
evolve
much...
and not to hit her at all. You need to go to anger management and learn how to control yourself, because everything that you're saying, evolving would be not ever striking anyone ever, ever.
Are you currently in a relationship, Susie? Do you have a man?
I can tell you that I was in an abusive relationship, and there's no reason for anybody to hit another person. There is a mental issue that you need to take care of. You have to take care of it.
But you loved him, didn't you? And my question is, did he slap you after an incident having to do with your cooking?
Because, oh, it's got nothing to do with cooking.
He got upset for something, and yes, I got slapped, but he had no right to do that. It was wrong.
It was your cooking, though, was it your cooking?
What's that got to do with anything, man?
I just don't know. Was it what?
Please, would you please help with cooking?
You're trying to make an excuse that it's okay, and then that, oh, you want everybody to be sorry for you because you went to jail and all these things. Step back and say, I'm sorry. I need to get some help. Stop.
Well, I will tell you this, Phil. I'd like to compile a list. And I agree with the lady, but I'm compiling a list of what are the reasons that women get slapped. And we're finding
be no reason
that most
ever.
of them have to do with cooking.
Okay,
it's got nothing to do with anything, man. The cooking, not cooking. You see, you, by coming up with these reasons why women get slapped, now you're going to say that if women don't screw up cooking, they won't get slapped.
You don't think it's worth looking into?
No, I do not. I think it's going at it bass-ackwards. I think what you're doing there is, why don't we find our way to the moon by way of airplanes, okay? And I wonder why the airplane doesn't work. What about rocket fuel? No. Let's not use rocket fuel. Let's fly an airplane.
What?
Well,
what a
retard. Man goes to the store and he doesn't pick up the stuff that he's supposed to, so we slap him.
Right.
Or we tell the man that the keys are in the drawer and we give them exact directions where those keys are, but they can't find them, and you go to the drawer and they're exactly where they say. So I should slap him, is what you're saying.
What are the reasons you've slapped your men? What reason?
No, I didn't. I'm giving you an example of what you're saying.
Of when you slapped him. But you slapped your boyfriend because he missed the keys?
No, she didn't slap her boyfriend.
I'm giving you an example. Because
you're saying you slapped your boyfriend when he couldn't find his keys.
But
you slapped your boyfriend when he...
You're saying it's all right. She didn't slap her boyfriend because he couldn't find the keys.
She just said she did.
No, she did not. She gave an example of what would women do if that's what women... If women slap...
Yeah, see, you're getting all tongue-tied because you're trying to protect her, and you want to leave me out twisting in the breeze.
No, I'm not, Dean. I'm just simply saying that for you to say, I'm compiling a list of all the reasons why women get slapped, and if they'll just cook better, and if they'll just do this better and that better, why all the domestic abuse in America and in the world would be gone. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying it's worth a shot.
I'm saying you're cuckoo, man. All right, listen, thank you very, very much, Susie, for your call. I appreciate it. Very good call. 877-876-PHIL. You can put all the lists together that you want. Most women get slapped because they burned the chicken. Let's stop doing that. No. We'll be back more with Dean Wheeler on this wide-ranging discussion of YouTube and catching people in the act on YouTube. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The number two reason is putting the wrong gas in the car.
Phil Hendry.
Anti-Semitic.
Okay, hold on. Dean Wheeler with me here on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com, live streaming video and audio of the show right now. How did your wife demonstrate anti-Semitism?
The feature that we were looking at on the History Channel one night about Albert Einstein, and she said to me, do you think, with a sort of a smirk on her face, do you think Einstein ever combed his hair? And it was instantaneous. It was automatic. It was nothing that I thought about. I just, my hand came up and I slapped her across the face. And I said to her, that was anti-Semitic. I had to think of, why did I do that? And I realized, I think, that she was demonstrating a level of Jew hate.
Well, what did she do? So she let you slap her across the face when you convinced her she was being anti-Semitic. And to me, that's a different kind of manipulation. She's not being anti-Semitic as she asks, did Einstein ever comb his hair?
Well, is that right, Mr. Henry? And you know my wife, Belinda, better than me. My goodness, I'd like to know where you've been these last many years.
No, sir, I don't know your wife better than you. But I dare say that that is not an anti-Semitic comment to ask, did Einstein ever comb his hair? Here is Vicky in Salt Lake City listening on KKAT. Hi, Vicky, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I want to ask Mr. Wheeler, where did he first get slapped himself? Who slapped him and taught him that despicable behavior?
Well, if you're willing to believe this, my mother.
Yeah, well, of course I believe it. And I'm saying,
yes.
Did it happen when you were a little boy? A little boy? Do you think it happened?
No, it did not. No, it did not. It happened when I was an adult.
You mean she suddenly started slapping you as an adult?
We were standing in front of a church where my sister was getting married, and I told my mother that I didn't want to dress. There was a series of tuxedos that they had us wear as the groomsmen.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my mother, and I'll say the words, and I'm not proud of it, I said, I don't want to look like some Sunday afternoon fag. And that's when she slapped me.
Okay, I want to know, who slapped her? Who slapped her the first time to learn how to slap you?
I don't know. I imagine my father.
Okay.
I'm sure he did.
Your father. So you think your father slapped her?
Of course.
Okay, what I want to know is when your mother first slapped you,
yes.
Why didn't you tell her that you couldn't have a relationship with her anymore until she went for help? And walk away and never learn that relationship yourself. Never do that to a woman.
Why would I have done that? I used a word that was hateful, and
she
had slapping in the face.
But her slapping you is a sign of, it's an illness, and it is evil. It's evil to slap somebody.
I wasn't thinking that. All I said to her was, I'm not going to dress like a Sunday afternoon fag. And she slapped me. And it seemed appropriate. It seemed like the good response. You know,
well, how old were you?
I was in my 30s.
You were in your 30s?
Yes.
I don't care if my mother or my father slapped me. If it ever happened once in my life, I wouldn't be around again. I would never be around them again.
Who slaps you now? Does anyone slap you now?
Never. No one has ever slapped me in my life.
Well, certainly people have wanted to slap you, do you think?
I have absolutely
For instance...
Idea.
And this is my illness, Vicky. This is my illness. I own this. But I feel like slapping you. But I own that. I want to slap you. What?
I think it's very sad.
You know why I want to slap you? Because you're going...
I'm what?
God, I can't understand anything you're saying. I can't get the words to come out the way I want. All I know is...
All right, thank you very much. Thank you, Vicky. And we'll be back with our News Hour. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
The News Hour.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
I am very happy. I am definitely very happy.
Well, most military men are not in favor of the change.
I just didn't know what satisfaction there is when, a man at 15.
Mike, I felt this thrill going up my leg.
You look like a fool, don't you?
Yes.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. Yeah. We go places where other talk shows wish they could, man. They can't, you know, take you through the looking glass to find that and beyond. And our website, the right hand of me, go over to philhenryshow.com, watch the live streaming video, listen to live streaming audio right now of this show, this here show. And also pick up the podcasts on a daily basis from iTunes or from our site or from other places where you grab your podcast. And also we have, of course, our news feed, and we have our archives, hours and hours, thousands and thousands of hours of archives to go through. The largest repository of great radio in the world, the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. And I'm joined this hour, as usual, in our news hour by Bud Dickman. Bud, how are you?
Very good.
and Robert Leonard. Robert?
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about the news this hour and a number of other things. We also want to give people a little bit of a heads up, and Bud, I think you know the ins and the outs on this one.
Yeah, the Phil Henry classic CDs is going to be available soon.
Right. So we have, this is all the original artwork?
Yeah, these are the original CDs what we had for 97 and everything. We got so many of these that we were going to make them available and everything.
Can you buy more than one?
Yeah, you can buy more than one. But we'll let people know. We're not going to do it just yet, but we'll let people know when we go on sale with those, okay? Ex-city manager among eight people arrested in California scandal. Now, this is one of those stories that's just a beautiful thing. And the reason why I say that, this is a story that we can credit, and we certainly malign enough times the L.A. Times, because really, in point of fact, the L.A. Times has sort of lost its way as a newspaper here in our city. In Los Angeles and across the country, you guys know the same story, similar stories of periodicals, newspapers, daily newspapers. But this is the kind of thing that a local paper does well. And not only was the LA Times, but it was also some very, very concerned citizens, some people that really got in there and took a look and said, hey, hold the phone, man. What's going on in this town? Now, there's a little California town here in the metro LA area, and like Miami, and some other cities, we are a collection of suburbs that make up this large megalopolis called L.A. And this little town is called Bell. You can go on Google Maps, and what are you doing?
I'm going to look it up on Google Maps right now to find out where it is.
It's right here, man. I showed you on the map.
Oh, that one.
Well, what did you think I was talking about? You think it sounds like someplace in Thailand?
Well, they had kind of a name like that, yeah.
No, this is in Bell, California. And this is an amazing story, ladies and gentlemen. It is a story of a city where one in six residents live in poverty. One in six live in poverty. It's a despicable story on a lot of different levels.
You mean like the way the people aren't being helped?
No, the way those people are too lazy to go out and get a job. Yes, the way they aren't being helped. Well, you guys hold on for a minute. The mayor and the former city manager of Bell were led away in handcuffs on Tuesday, charged with six other officials with taking more than $5.5 million from the working class suburb in a scandal that triggered nationwide outrage and calls for more transparency in government. I love this story for another reason. This is what I keep telling you guys. This is where it's at, man. Not the big Obama versus McCain and the thing and the Senate and the team. This is it, man. This is the local stories. If we paid more attention to what's going on locally, the country would take care of itself.
Yeah, but I don't understand what you're saying, like, Well, every time they go to Washington, nothing gets done on account of this.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
What I mean is they can send all the senators they want. They can send Stephen Douglas, okay?
Who's Stephen Douglas?
Stephen Douglas was a guy that debated Abraham Lincoln. He was a great senator. They can send all the great senators they want to Washington. Stephen Douglas.
Well, yeah, that's what you said.
I know, I misspoke. They can send all of the great senators, all the great congresspeople to Washington. And people will say nothing's getting done. And the problem's with, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem's right here, man. The problem's right in your town. My town. Everybody town. Anyway.
That's kind of urban.
I urbaned it up a little bit. Anyway, charged with six other officials with taking more than $5.5 million from the working class suburb in a scandal that triggered nationwide outrage. Now, wait till you hear what they did, because this is the part that I think is stunning. And in many ways, the citizens have a lot to answer for. The arrests by the DA's Bureau of Investigation, this is the district attorney of the County of Los Angeles, the DA's Bureau of Investigation included former city manager Robert Rizzo. Former what, Robert?
Yeah, go another guy, another WAP.
Will you watch him with the WAP stuff, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't say that, man. Why don't I say another N-word?
You're right. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Robert Rizzo. Why? Does he sound like he's in the mafia? Okay. City manager Robert Rizzo, former assistant manager Angelo Spaccia, Mayor Oscar Hernandez, Vice Mayor Teresa Jacobo, council members Luis Artiga and George Mirabal, and former council members George Cole and Victor Bello. They were charged with dozens of counts of illegally paying themselves, folks. Paying themselves huge salaries in what District Attorney Steve Cooley called a case of corruption on steroids. Now, let's listen as Councilman Lorenzo Velez, the only council member not arrested today. This is the only guy in the city council for Bell that was not arrested by the police now Tuesday, yesterday. He was not arrested because he was not involved in any of the scandal. He spoke to Channel 5 KTLA television saying he's glad the corrupt officials will now have to pay.
I am very happy. I am definitely very happy for my community for the simple reason that this it shouldn't have been happened. And when you signed to represent your community, you signed with all honesty, and you, I have the best intentions when I, for the 25 years that I participated in my community as a community activist, I always did it with all the goodness of my heart.
Yeah, but how do they know that guy didn't do nothing?
Oh, well, look at Bud. If the guy didn't do nothing, the DA's got nothing on him, why don't we just go ahead and concentrate on the guys that he's got in custody, okay?
I don't understand how that guy can get away and everybody else doing it.
It is a good point.
What's good about it? What are you talking about? Because all these other people are... These people were voting themselves... Now, just shut up for a second, man. Will you let me finish the story, okay?
Get to the point, will you?
What do you mean, get to the point? I'm getting to the point. I'm reading the story. They were charged with dozens of counts of illegally paying... Get to the point. They were charged with dozens of counts of illegally paying themselves huge salaries. They used taxes of the hardworking citizens of Bell as their own piggy bank, which they looted. Now, in Bell, where 1 in 6 residents live in poverty, people began honking their horns as the news hit the streets. At City Hall, dozens of people gathered to laugh and applaud as someone played the Queen song, Another One Bites the Dust. Now, Rizzo, get a load of this. Rizzo, who was making nearly $800,000 a year as the... This guy was the what, Bud?
I think he's like the city manager.
The city manager of Bell, 1 in 6 people in poverty, $800,000 a year. He was booked on 53 counts of misappropriation of public funds and conflict of interest. Messages left at his home and with his attorney were not returned. No kidding? Jeez.
Yeah, I think they want to return a message, you know, people calling up.
Well, he's a little tied up. He's in jail.
I don't know why they always say, you know, let's call him up and see if he has a comment. He ain't going to talk to you cats. He and the others were scheduled to be arraigned today, with officials seeking bail amounts ranging from $3.5 million for Rizzo to $130,000 for former Councilman George Cole. The amounts were based on how much authorities believe each person took. Spacia was making $376,000 a year, and 4 of the 5 city council members were paying themselves nearly $100,000 a year. One of the longtime residents there, Hassan Murad, who is at the... City Hall, but I guess he was at a couple of the homes of these council members, said that he saw them taking Mirabal, George Mirabal, one of the council members, out in handcuffs. He said they were, quote, dragging him out. At the mayor's house, police briefly used, get a load of this. This is beautiful.
Man, this with a battering ram?
Yeah, listen to this. At the mayor's house, Mayor Oscar Hernandez, they used a battering ram. They knocked on the door. Mr. Mayor, you there? No? Okay. Boom! Now, this is nuts. Former police chief Randy Adams, who was also scrutinized in the salary scandal, and why not, was not arrested. Well, I'll tell you why. This guy is the police chief, this guy Adams, right? And Cooley knew this guy Adams. Cooley, the DA, knew Adams when he was the police chief in Glendale. He said there was no evidence that Adams illegally obtained his $457,000 annual salary. I'm going to tell you something. The figure was $150,000 more than the L.A. chief of police. $457,000 a year to be the police chief of Bell. Now, there's a difference here, folks, and here's the thing. Is the guy being paid by idiots? Yes. Did he do anything illegal? No. Here's what they're charging the other people with. Rizzo... get a load of this. This guy made $4.3 million paying himself through different employment contracts that were not approved by the city council. Council members paid themselves a combined $1.25 million for what Cooley called phantom meetings. Rizzo also accused of giving $1.9 million in loans to himself and also to this Spacia and to Hernandez and to Artiga and to dozens of others. So in other words, these people were illegally paying themselves through contracts, illegally paying themselves by bonusing themselves, or who knows, petty cash. This dude, the police chief, keep in mind, these salaries are out of control. This is criminal in and of itself. But this is the city charter allows these people to vote themselves raises. These guys that were paying themselves $100,000 a year sitting on the city council of Bell. I mean, nothing against Bell, but 100 G's a year to sit on the city council? 450 G's a year to be the police chief of that town? Now, some people may say, well, it's a high-crime city. Well, you know...
Yeah, but you don't know that. But people might say, I need to make a lot of money to run, and this town is all messed up. I got to get it squared away. I'm going to need a big salary.
Oh, no. That ain't the way it works, man. You know, a guy runs for office and gets elected for office.
What do you mean? You, if you want a job, you want to get paid good.
No, if you're running for a political office, you put your name in the hat and people vote for you, you are... in terms of public service, you're almost like volunteering for the job. I'm not saying you don't get paid, but you don't run to be the police chief of Bell or try to be the mayor of Bell or whatever the hell it is so you can make yourself a nice fat payday. That's not the way it's supposed to go. Anyway, we got more to say about this as the days and the weeks unfold, man. Coming up, we've got the best affordable cities for buying a house. This is pretty interesting. Wait till you hear this. Where can you buy the real cheap houses these days? And Katy Perry was on Sesame Street showing her breasts. All right. 877-876-PHIL.
Really?
No, not really, man, but almost. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world famous
Bill Henry Show. Yeah, see it right there.
Where'd you find it?
Right there, see?
Okay, so Bud found this website for the Bell Association to Stop Abuse, and these are the people that were they were behind this whole effort by, the DA getting involved and finding out just what the hell is going on in this town. And I won't linger too long on the story because we want to get on to some other stuff, but listen to this. They had here the lists of other people. Christina Garcia was quoted in the Orange County Register, and Al Sala was one of the residents quoted in the L.A. Times of being a watchdog of the city hall. There were a couple of people that were mentioned in the L.A. Times article. This was before they actually formed an organization. And I think you're right, Jason. There was like one or two, and it was a man and a woman, and they were the ones who were like, what the hell is this? Why won't you give us answers? So... they wanted the immediate resignation of council members Hernandez, Artiga, Jacobo, and Mirabal, which I think they got arrests is what they got, forensic audit from a neutral third party, immediate establishment of a residence committee to review and establish salaries, the immediate resignation of other administrators making disproportional salaries as compared to their contemporaries in other cities, including Lourdes Garcia, Director of Administrative Services, whatever that is, $422,000 a year. Wow! Wow! You can't live in Bell. You can't make that kind of money and live in Bell. What house are you going to buy, man? Eric Egana, Director of General Services, $421,000 a year this cat's making? You make that kind of money, you're going to buy a house that's... well, you can afford to buy a house that's in the high six figures at least. And you sure as hell ain't going to buy it in Bell. Annette Peretz, Director of Community Services, $273,542. Luis Ramirez, Deputy Engineer, $247,000. Ricardo Gonzalez, Business Development Coordinator, $195,000 a year. And Victor Bello, Assistant to the Food Bank Coordinator, $96,000. $96,600.
Ain't that an important job?
What is? Assistant to the food bank?
Assistant to the food bank coordinator.
It's an important job in the overall human sense, yes, Robert. But it ain't no big shakes when it comes to the priorities of the people that, pay the salaries. I'm sorry to have to say this, but a food bank coordinator doesn't even make $96,000 a year. And then they wanted an immediate explanation from city administrators as to the scope of services of each of the administrative positions, and they wanted the immediate termination of the City of Bell's contract, Pacific Housing Management, whatever the hell. So we'll find out. All right, speaking of houses, man, now, not that the people that work for the city of Bell need this kind of advice, but we do have the top cities for buying a house. Where are the most affordable homes? Austin, Texas, number one, the capital of the Lone Star State and a major cultural hub of the South. Austin is consistently ranked as one of the best big cities to live in. A vibrant university life, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Median house price, $197,000. Average monthly cost, $782. We're talking about, you know, 20% down payment and all that other horse dung. We don't need that information, AOL News. Thanks very much. Just give us the price, $197,000. Now, it gets really interesting here. Sarasota, Florida. The median price for a home in Florida in 2007 was $311,000. $311,000 in 2007. In this last quarter, the price is down to $185,000 median. That's an unbelievable drop. But it's a 40% drop is what it is. Don't expect prices to stay this low forever, though. A sunnier outlook could yield great returns for savvy investors. You know, this is exactly what I heard the guy say, and I agreed with it. It wasn't like I'm listening to everything that Susie What's-Her-Ass says or any more Jim Goofball. But when people say, don't be buying any houses to flip them, man, I agree. And this jackball here for AOL News.
Well, you know, it could be you put a little money into that thing. You could be able to flip it for
because the first thing someone's going to be looking at, if some guy bought a house 6 months ago and he wants to flip for a higher price, brother, you better put some work into that thing, man. I mean, you better remodel it. I mean, you had better. And you know what? The comps better come in at the this is the thing called comps, meaning are other houses in the neighborhood selling for the same price? Are they getting the same per square foot? Really? Well, guess what? No, I ain't paying your price. Average monthly cost. All right. Albuquerque, New Mexico, number three. Albuquerque. There's been a 10% drop since 2007. As of June 2007, it was the sixth fastest growing city in America, the 34th largest city in the United States, a part of which can be yours for $706 a month, they say. The median home price is $178,000. In New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the median price had dropped from $225,000 to $176,000, comes up fourth on our list. In fourth place. Now, they've got 45-degree annual average temperatures, which that don't exactly sound like, you know, beach summer weather to me, but since 2007, the median price of a single home in Minneapolis-St. Paul has gone from $225 to $176, a 22% decline. Now, it's a beautiful city, and there's nice things to do, but it's cold. Oh, baby.
Yeah, how cold is it?
It's so cold, the snot in your nose freezes.
What?
I'm telling you, it's so cold, any moisture, tears, anything freezes. It's so cold that the lock to your car will freeze up and you can't get the key in. It's so bloody cold. It's cold, man. It's cold.
Man, I don't know, man. But you got a really nice house there?
Yeah, you can live like a king, man. You can live like the Ice King. In Columbus, Ohio, fifth on our list. One of the largest hindrances to buying a home today is job security. But Columbus has four Fortune 500 corps living there or, you know, existing there. Median home price, $150,000. Wow, that's the median home price in Columbus, Ohio, $150,000 a year. And then number six on the list, Phoenix. Phoenix, the ass dropped out of Phoenix, man. It used to be a median price there of $257,000 in 07. It's dropped to $145,000, a 45% drop. Phoenix, it's nice. Now, that's some sunshine there, brother. And then next on our list is Columbia. We're going to continue. Columbia, South Carolina. I mean, anyway, it's a nice place, very nice place. 877-876-PHIL. A dad apologizes for screaming at his daughter's perceived bullies, which I don't think he should have done. And Katy Perry's boobs. Can we do that story and get it out of my life?
Yeah.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here. The world-famous, groundbreaking, and, you know, earth-jarring Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, philhendryshow.com for our live streaming video tonight. So to finish out the story here on the most affordable cities to live in, and then we'll get to the dad apologizing on the bus and Katy Perry and her marvelous life. Katy Perry, a former Christian singer. You know, I guess you bust into entertainment and showbiz any way you can. You get a little bit of that gospel music, you know, praise Jesus. But hey, you know, when they finally put something in front of you that you can actually sign on the dotted line and have a little self-respect remaining, you're on your way. And I think that's, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I mean, she's a Christian?
Yeah, she's a Christian.
Yeah, she's singing about kissing chicks on the lip and everything like that.
I know that, man. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the story, and I don't care. She was a Christian singer, and then I kissed a girl, and now she's sewing her boobs to Kermit the Frog or something, is the best I can figure it out. All right, number 7 on our list of most affordable houses, most affordable cities when it comes to housing. Number 7, Columbia, South Carolina. The sunny state capital of South Carolina offers a great deal of home buyer looking for some sun out buy. Columbia, I'm talking that way because my car actually blew up once, not too far from Columbia, South Carolina. Very nice people. And I asked the guy, where's the closest, garage? Well, you go to, and is there a restaurant? Yeah, you got, all right, and there's a hotel? Yeah, and I was gone before he got the last sentence out. Columbia has not suffered to the same extent as others on this list since the peak of the housing boom. And by the way, to our affiliate in Columbia, South Carolina, I'm only kidding. The median home price for a single-family home... we don't have one? We have one in Charleston? Never mind. The median home price for a single-family home in the city has dropped less than 3% from $146,000 in 2007 to just above $142,000.
Hmm? What's that mean?
Well, that means life is not all that transient in Columbia, South Carolina. I think people move there, but they're not exactly, you know, there's not a big turnover of people coming in and moving out. The prices are fairly significant. Probably that reflects whatever improvements people make to their homes. And in other words, the demand is not all that high for housing in Columbia, South Carolina. In Boise, Idaho, football and French fries are just scratching the surface when it comes to the capital city of Idaho. In 2008, Forbes ranks the scenic city as the second best city for business and career development.
Is that how you say that?
No, it's Idaho, man.
You said Idaho, though. We were wondering about that, and I'm not sure.
No, it's Idaho. Okay. I talked to a couple. I was in Mexico, and there was a couple there from Boise, Idaho. Now then.
Yeah?
I'm kidding around. No, I was in Mexico, and there was a couple there from Boise, Idaho, and he was an attorney, and she was something. And I remember wanting to punch him, and I don't know why.
Oh, man, you told me that guy was like hated Bush, right?
No, it wasn't about him hating Bush. He just was talking a lot of crap. Anyway, but they were a very nice couple. Anyway, football and French fries are just scratching the surface when it comes to the capital city of Idaho. In 2008, Forbes ranked the scenic city as the second best city for business and career development. Since 2007, the median price of a single-family home dropped from $206,000 to $140,000, a 32% drop. But with job prospects on the rise and mortgage prices skimming bottom, now is the perfect time to consider this up-and-comer. What are you people talking about? Are you talking about moving to relocate permanently?
Well, no, they're talking about investment opportunity.
Well, that's stupid is what I'm trying to say.
Why? The AOL News is trying to get people to make money.
You ain't going to make any money in real estate now, man. You would forget it, man. It isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen. I'm not saying that you can't turn a profit, but if you think you're going to flip a house in 6 months for 60 grand, 70 grand, uh-uh. No way.
Well, why do you think they wrote the article?
I'm thinking they wrote the article, if people are looking for affordable housing, try these cities to live in. I just don't like listening to these jackasses talk, hey, man, now's the time to make hay while the sun shines. Woo-hoo! If you want to move to Boise, Idaho, or Columbia, South Carolina, you got a career opportunity in any one of the cities we mentioned, fantastic, because they are great cities for, opportunity in real estate to buy yourself a home you can live in and be happy in. But you think you're going to go in there and start flipping houses, think again, Jim. All right, number 9 on our list is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, one of the only cities on the list to have appreciated in value since 2007. The average price has gone up. Pittsburgh is rapidly reinventing itself and offers great advantages for homeowners in the healthcare, technology, and education sectors. With an economy once buoyed by its steel industry, it is now also home to 2010 Fortune 500 companies. The median home price is $127,000, and it's gone up. And finally, number 10 on the list, and this is really a very cool city to live in. I can't wait to see what the prices are in Atlanta. Atlanta is a very beautiful city, and it's one of the only cities I've been to where there are gorgeous, gorgeous homes not far off of downtown. I mean, I'm telling you, they have a sort of a city center in Atlanta, and there's a kind of a commercial district that runs north-south along Peachtree Street. But as you get off of that and you get out into the, you know, you're only 2-3 miles, and in some instances, like places like in Midtown, you can see the skyscrapers of the city above the trees, and you're walking into this beautiful home, man, that with a golf course right next to it.
But that's where you used to live, right?
Yeah, but I'm not. I didn't own a house. I was renting a duplex there.
You had a house there, though, right?
No, I was renting a duplex. And
How much did your house cost?
I didn't have a house. You guys deaf? I was renting.
What's that?
Renting?
Oh, yeah, all right.
What's that?
You didn't hear you, man, but you said that you owned one.
I never told you guys that I owned a house in Atlanta. I lived in Midtown. I had a little duplex. I was only a few feet away from the radio station, WSB. But it was gorgeous, man. I mean, you come out in the morning, and there's the beautiful trees, and you look above the trees a little bit to the south, and there's the skyline of Atlanta. It was a really beautiful city to live in. Now, according to this article, the Sun Belt, I never told you guys I bought a house.
Yeah, you did, man. You said you lived on a golf course, everything.
Man, you must be, you know something? I don't know what you're drinking when you get home.
Mambo.
Mambo. That explains it.
What's wrong with that?
Never mind, man. Go back to that freaking Schlitz malt or something.
I like Mambo, too. There's nothing wrong with Mambo. You know,
ain't called Mambo, called Mambo.
Mambo malt liquor.
Well, what's this stuff I'm drinking called Mambo?
I don't know. I've never heard of Mambo.
Where do you get it?
I thought it was called Mambo.
Where are you buying it?
Same place he gets Mambo.
Mambo? Malt liquor.
Yeah.
I never heard of that, man. I told him I drink Mambo, and you drink Mambo.
I believe that's the name of it, yeah.
Hey, bud, you know, I never heard a guy say, I really love this malt liquor, and it's called Mambo. I believe that's the name of it. You either know the name of it or you don't.
Well, what do you drink?
I drink Don Julio tequila, and I know the name of that. Believe me.
Yeah, I never heard of Mambo, but I ain't saying it doesn't exist.
Yeah, you're not calling me a liar.
No, I'm not calling you a liar.
Do you guys mind? Could you talk about this later? If you don't mind.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Atlanta, the Sun Belt standout, is home to some of the most successful companies in America, including Coca-Cola, Georgia-Pacific, AT&T Mobility, and Turner Broadcasting. In fact, it ranks fourth in the number of Fortune 500 companies headquartered within its limits, only behind New York, Houston, and Dallas, none of which made the list. So what they're saying basically is New York, Houston, and Dallas, which are the top three for Fortune 500 companies, the homes there, forget it, Jack. You couldn't get in with a shoehorn. But in Atlanta, yeah, median home price, $123,000. Average monthly cost after a 20% down payment or $24,600, monthly payments for mortgage principal and interest on a medium-based Atlanta home come to $488. I don't understand, man, you know. But you know what? Yes, I do. I live in California. I forgot. My mortgage payment for my home, yeah, this is...
Yeah, well, you live at the beach and everything.
Well, I don't live on the sand, man. And believe me when I tell you, my house isn't that much more expensive. But, boy, the idea of having a mortgage payment of $488 almost makes me feel... almost makes me dizzy with ecstasy. Almost makes me, I don't know, feel like I've dropped acid or something. By analyzing the latest median home price values in 159 metropolitan statistical areas, the report assumes a full 20% down payment, then determined the monthly rate, blah, 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 blah. 20% down. If you can afford the 20% down, there you go, man. But yeah, some of these towns, it's a beautiful thing. All right, and finally, Katy Perry guest stars on Sesame Street in a cleavage-revealing dress. The dirty, filthy slut. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, here is Katy Perry singing one of her songs. You wanna play This was on Sesame Street, by the way. And Kermit looked aroused. I'm kidding. All right, anyway, so Katy Perry can't seem to keep her wardrobe in check this week. That, according to the New York Daily News, days after her fiancé, Russell Brand, was arrested for attacking a photographer who aimed a camera up her dress. Why wouldn't he? Perry appeared in a new Sesame Street video in an outfit that is raising the ire of some viewer parents. The 24-year-old singer is seen in a low-cut yellow-green heart-shaped dress with a sheer piece of material covering her thing. No, her ample cleavage. Is she really that big up top?
You don't look it to me.
Anyway, the wedding veil on her head is part of a dress-up game with Elmo that has gone awry. Yeah, I'll bet it has. She proceeds to chase the Sesame regular while singing a version of Hot and Cold, the song that we're listening to right now, I believe, that focuses on the Puffet waffling over their play date instead of an up-and-down relationship. While Elmo unzips his pants, I'm kidding. No, it doesn't. The letter of the day is B for, well, you get it, bosom. An inability to act normal for children, says NewYorkMagazine.com's Vulture. Yeah, they got it. Man, they really ripped them an ass. New York Magazine's Vulture ripped the PBS Sesame thing. They ripped them an ass. Because Katy Perry, that slut. Well, I do. I got a problem with that. I really do.
What's the matter with it, man? Can't people have no fun no more?
You can have all the fun you want, not with kids. Do you understand? Kids, little kids. Do you understand the difference?
Yeah, I understand the difference. Everybody's trying to have some fun, trying to tell people they can't do it.
You can have all the fun you want as an adult. Leave the kids out. Why do we got to suck little children into every perverted idea that we have as adults? What the hell is our problem anyway?
You're being all prudish and stuff, man.
No, I'm not being prudish, man. You can do anything you want. Did I just say that you can do anything you want? Anything that you want. Go out there and... whatever, man. It's cool. It's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with Robert Mapplethorpe. I don't have a problem with Madonna and her Jesus videos. I got no problem with any of that, man. I like it, in fact. I like a rich artistic community and expression. I love it. The thing that bothers me and will always bother me until the day I drop is when we got to put kids into it. What is our problem? Gee, we're adults and we're Americans and we've become sexualized and we're free and we can talk about how much we want to get laid and we can talk about how large our sexual organs are. I know. Let's tell kids about it too. And then I hear adults and I'm telling you, this is the part that pisses me off. Then I hear adults. Oh, what's the problem? I mean, I got a whole lot. What's the problem? I don't understand. What do you mean, what's the problem? They're kids. You know, I think that we should just be a little bit... you know, I would never do anything to hurt my child. You know, when a parent says to me that they would never do anything to hurt their child, that's when I get out the crucifix and the garlic, man, because I ain't dealing with anybody that's real. I would never do it. Because those are the people... people that got to keep telling you that they won't do anything to hurt their kids, I don't trust them. Because anybody that actually wouldn't do anything to hurt their kids, they don't have to go out and sell it to the world. So you walk around in a loincloth and you've got something shoved up your rear end. I would never do anything to hurt my children. This is entirely appropriate. Oh, well, I'll just take your word for that. And you sleep with a monkey and have sex with it, right? That's exactly right. And that large jar of Vaseline, yes, that's for the monkey. And your kids see that. I would never. How dare you? How dare you?
What guy's going to have a jar of a monkey there?
I'm trying to make a point here, bud. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, don't make no sense.
I'm trying to make a point. Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
Talk about a monkey.
I'm trying to make a point here about how some people just go about their lives in the most libertine and disgusting way with children around. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but said about a monkey.
All right, forget the monkey. Forget that I even brought the monkey up.
But you said a monkey and a jar of Vaseline.
Some kind of fantasy?
I'm going to haul off and belt somebody in about 5 seconds. Jody Jill of TheExaminer.com. Here's the one review that kind of bothered me. Here's Jody Jill. In perspective, you would feel this type of gown on someone in their 20s at a nightclub looking for a good time. In addition to the chest shots that show the cleavage, there are the leg shots. Well above the knees, Perry is shown with Elmo running around her legs in a tight shot. Y'all bet it's a tight shot. The right impression for those learning the alphabet? Definitely not, says parental units around the country. In fact, this video shows so much breasts that singles are flocking to it to just check out the bounce factor. Now, I would have really liked that review by Jody Jill of TheExaminer.com, except you lied there at the end, Jody. You lied because you wanted to have a real cool kicker. You wanted to have a nice closeout line, so you lied saying that singles are flocking to look at the video. I'm not interested in seeing the video at all because I know that you're full of crap. I bet you it doesn't show anything.
I just looked at it. It doesn't show any boob or nothing.
I bet you it doesn't. You go and you look at some of the stuff that people are shocked by, and you go, what's the big... But again, I'm speaking about kids, not about me. I don't give a damn what adults are shocked by. I could care. You know. Anyway, I realize I sound like one of those people that, you know, because I can't have my way, that I think I'll drag the kids into it, and that way... But, I mean, I don't think I'm too far out of the ballpark here when I say, you know, Sesame Street, please. Oh, Mr. Henry, you want to drag the kids and everything, don't you? Drag the kids and what? It's Sesame Street. Well, that doesn't mean the children are watching it. Well, good point. Thank you so very, very deeply. All right, we'll be back with the dad that apologized. You know, this story makes me want to cry. I don't think I'll even read it. We probably will. Don't forget, 877-876-PHIL is our number all the time to reach us during the regular, call-in hours. And visit our website, philhenryshow.com, for our show log following tonight's show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What are you talking about a monkey for?
Forget the monkey.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
In Lake Mary, Florida, my hero, this dad that got on the bus and he told him, you know, if you pick on my kid one more time, I'm going to set fire to the bus with you kids in it. How do you feel about that? And they all went, yay! Well, now he's apologized. I guess he got pushed into it. James Jones called a news conference today or yesterday to explain why he snapped at Seminole County School Bus, snapped on a Seminole County School Bus, and to say he's sorry. Jones says he was only trying to protect his daughter. He's apologizing for what he did. The 42-year-old father of four is facing charges and could end up in jail. He said, I'd like to apologize to the parents of the kids that were not involved, he said, and that were involved with my language. I handled it the wrong way. When I went on the bus, I didn't ask anybody to go on the bus and use the language that I used. Jones admitted he screwed up, but says he felt helpless. His 12-year-old disabled daughter was bullied so much that he said he was unable to ride the bus, that she was afraid to ride the bus. She has cerebral palsy. This is a disease that affects the muscles, the ability to walk, the ability to move. And this is a little 12-year-old girl that's on a bus. His daughter is still in the hospital. She's on suicide watch. She was admitted after her dad was arrested. Jones says when his daughter gets out of the hospital, she will not be going back to that school. He said just moments before this meltdown, his daughter was standing at her bus stop, bawling about a boy throwing a condom in her hair. At that time, in the heat of the moment, I did it in a bad way because my daughter broke my heart standing there crying and not wanting to get on that bus. It turned out, though, that Jones's daughter was not the target, but had been bullied so much before, she thought the condom was meant for her. The school district said Jones never reported his concerns to administrators, but in the days before the incident, his wife said she called the school for help. Yeah, I don't believe that for a second. I'm a guy, man. I think teachers have a thankless job. There's no question about it. But there is it seems sometimes to be a vast gulf between what the teachers are dealing with, what these administrators allow themselves to say and to do, and what they'll admit to, and then the proper channels, and this and that, and something else. And you are talking about a kid that's disabled, and you are basically talking about a father getting on a bus and telling a bunch of punks, you know, you touch my daughter, and you remember the end of Dirty Harry when he got a hold of the bus and Harry had to jump on the top, and the kids, maybe some of these parents that this guy was apologize to the parents. Why don't they learn how to be parents half as good as you there, James? Huh? Anyway, here's his apology.
I handled it the wrong way when I went on a bus. I don't ask nobody to go on a bus and use the language that I use in front of children. I would like to apologize to the families of the kids that were not involved and the kids that were involved.
All right. That's enough of that. I'm not going to listen to all of it because I just won't.
You won't put yourself through it.
Exactly. The show's produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Charles Wagon. And our associate producer tonight was John Weirich. World famous Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com for all of your Phil Hendry needs.
Phil Hendry.